happened along the way. I'm not a slave.
Greetings in the name of the Most High. Welcome to the Zeph Report, the ongoing saga of our world and how, at long last, we are in a peculiar position of having a reversal of fortunes among the elite perverts, who are used to always winning. I remember in a screenplay I wrote, basically a lamb kid going up against the system, and the guy goes, "We always win." And it's like, yeah, they always win. They're always used to winning. They always win. They feel they've got it sussed and we have no say in it. And we are the common man, you know, the person who has free will, the person that still retains free will, the person that does not want to give up the free will, so that we can have peace on earth. You see, the whole point of the United Nations and the League of Nations, the failure before the failure of the United Nations, was for, and for the EU, and for the global world order, is for nations to give up their individual rights for the purpose of peace. In other words, give up your free will, give up your rights, give up the Magna Carta, the Declaration of Independence, and so forth and so on, so that you can have cooperation among nations. But really what it is they want your free will. So you abrogate your responsibility as a human being. You give them your free will. And they in turn give you slavery. That's the New World Order. Hello, Mr. Eli is happy because he's... They've done their business and they're, you know, it's 3 in the morning or whatever, and... But it's 3 in the morning mountain time. I'm in, we had to wait out a storm here in Tucson, Arizona. It's very beautiful desert, but we're just waiting so we can go home, you know, so that's what happens. And that makes it kind of exciting. Everything in the world is broken on this this RV. It's an expensive rat trap. But... You know, what have I learned? Well, here's what I've learned, okay? What I've learned in this trek, this walkabout, is, and I couldn't see anyone, so my apologies for those of you. You know, it's the next one, or the one where this thing is fixed and there's not a million problems, and, you know, there was all kinds of issues, you know, including me having a learning curve on you know, driving and, you know, just, I don't want to go into it. I don't want to bore you with that. But what I did learn amongst the humans is that I learned that in certain areas, they've given up their free will. And in other areas, they haven't. But they may not know what's at stake. In other words, they may be naive. And so we have this ongoing debate. And in fact, in our waiting, went over to the theater here. I don't know exactly where this is in relation to other things. And I can kind of see the downtown from here, but I'm kind of in an industrial area of Tucson. And there's this Cinemark theater there that is actually a quite amazing experience. You know, I've never seen anything like that because I've been away from Los Angeles and away from that sort of thing. And they don't have anything like that in Santa Fe, New Mexico, so, or Albuquerque. Well, they may in Albuquerque, but I'm not quite sure. But anyway, it's called the Next Gen Theater. They have these reclining lounge chairs, these kind of like leatherette type reclining, very comfortable chairs that you sit in, electrically the thing goes up, and they also have reserved seating, just like in the old days. And then you have this spot where you watch the film, and it's like the most comfortable position you could ever be in your living room or whatever, you know. And it's truly an amazing experience. I really enjoyed it. The movie in question, and I'll do a little review of it, is called Assassin's Creed from the video game, starring Michael Fassbender. And I really enjoyed it because it's, you know, action film, and I like mindless action films. You know, I like films that get, I think Rotten Tomatoes gave it like a 13% score. So don't look for people to give it positive reviews. And realize why the critics hate it. Oh, my God. The whole key is in this movie. And you know, and it made me wonder who made this movie. And, you know, maybe I should shake their hand or something. Because the whole debate in the Assassin's Creed is the assassins, an ancient order back, you know, that was around at the time of the Inquisition, and the Knights Templars, and they would fight each other. And, you know, this is myth. I mean, there's no facts here. It's like a fantasy, you know, movie. But, I mean, they have the Knights Templars against the assassins. The Assassin's Creed, the credo, is to guard that the apple in Eden was really a genetic code that gave man free will. And it's in the shape of an apple, but it's not really, you know, it's the thing that gives free will to mankind or whatever. I mean, it's kind of stupid in that way. I mean, you know, it's going to sound not that great when I pitch it here. But, you know, the idea is to find the apple, that the assassins guard the apple. And the people that want to bring peace on Earth, they want a New World Order. So those people are there, the New World Order crowd, with their own queen, which is bizarre, which would they call her Your Excellency, yet she's not voted on in any country. And they are going for peace on Earth by getting the apple, cutting man's free will, and thereby enforcing peace upon the Earth. Well, you know what it really is. It's a power grab to take man's free will away, thereby enslaving man, correct? And thereby the forced peace is just a ruse to get the control and power over mankind, over humanity. And so, wow, you know, I like that kind of debate. But here's the thing, that the movie and the movie makers and the heroes are really the assassins who are awakening in this time dimension, but they're really bloodline from another time in the 1400s or 1300s or way back when. And they are having these memories and they're reawakening to who they really are. It's not about them individually. It's about the blood and the bloodline. So we have these bloodlines are everything to them. And they live in the darkness and do awful things to ensure that free will stays, that man remains in free will. So it really looks in a way like they're the warmongers, but they're really guarding free will. And it's got this whole kind of biblical aspect to it and all that. So, I didn't think I was going to really like it. And then I finally liked it because I really liked this debate of how, you know, free will has to win in the end. And free will is the ultimate gift. And even if someone wants to misuse free will, you know, even if the people that want to misuse it because they want to steal it. So here's what we had in the movie, and this is why I guess I related to it. We had the two types of people upon the earth displayed in the movie. Those that want a totalitarian globalist regime, devoid of free will, Agenda 21 people, you know, UN, UNESCO, or well, UNESCO is not there, UN, UNESCO, Agenda 21, Soros, Obama, the Democrats, etc. What they want is to take away free will and to enslave mankind. And, you know, by using all their devices of, you know, political correctness and social pressure and nudging and shaping. But it's all about giving up free will. It's just, you know, it's amazing how you don't know why you go to a movie, but then it makes you think about things, and then it crystallizes something in your own mind that maybe is unrelated to the actual thing that you saw, the event you experienced. And so, versus, of course, the assassins are very skilled, and because the free will protecting takes assassins, people willing to fight, willing to die for it, because the blood is everything, you know, the credo is the blood. And so the credo supersedes the individual who happens to be in this assassin's group, who are far more powerful in their way than the Inquisition, which is the New World Order, and the left, if you will, and the, you know, so I got a unique kind of insight into who these leftists are, what they're all about. And of course they're joined by, you know, rhinos and warmongers, really traitors on the quote, you know, right, unquote, because you have so many pedophiles and traitors to the country, you know, like you've got two right now who are really Knights Templar. They're not really assassins. So I put Lindsey Graham and John McCain, who want a war with Russia, trying to gin this comic book war up of something that never happened with the hacking. And I believe they've jumped the shark. They look like two clowns now. And hopefully, you know, the world, well, we don't know if the world is ever going to wake up. But, you know, in general, I mean, a lot of people have woken up, but the world has not. And so, you know, you wonder how they can get away with looking like absolute clowns and buffoons. Can they get anywhere with, you know, what, bomb Russia or whatever? He wanted to bomb Iran. Now he wants to bomb Russia. There's no place he doesn't want to bomb. He's a clown. He's only there because people are so frickin' stupid. They don't deserve a good leader, so they get him because they've agreed to abrogate their free will, right, in exchange for goodies. And being dumbed, they've voluntarily been dumbed down. They have volunteered to become stupid in exchange for some sort of security that they're neither going to have that, nor are they going to now have brains or free will or anything. And they feel that's a bargain. And it's amazing to me to see how many people, how many artists fall for that, how many artists are pushing the enslavement of humanity for their own personal gain when they don't realize they too will become slaves. They really are disgusting, and they really don't deserve the success they have. They deserve to be excoriated and publicly humiliated and shamed for attempting to enslave all of humanity. But then again, people are so stupid they don't even know what's going on. So, you know, case in point would be Mariah Carey, the MK Ultra meltdown on the stage at Times Square. That was a classic, you know, classic, just classic deprogramming moment where something glitch went wrong and they have to follow the script exactly, or they get lost and they can't find their place again, you know. And it was lip syncing anyway. I have to admit the old Lang Syne song that she recorded, I mean, eons ago, or whenever she recorded it, it was pretty good. You know, she's a great singer, man, no question. But amazing watching that. The meltdown is so emblematic of the New World Order collapsing. Anyway, the New World Order would be the funny thing about it in Hollywood is, you know, Rotten Tomatoes and all these sort of, you know, I would call them the leftist, the globalist leftist intelligentsia, trendy kind of people. They all want the New World Order. They all want to be slaves. They're all stupid, you know. And, you know, that they would be the Knights Templar. They would be the people represented by the Knights Templar that would be the George Soros and the whatever. You could, the movie just could, you could put into the two categories, the sheep and the goats, the lambs and the wolves, if you will. They just fall in these two categories so perfectly. And I thought because it was so simple and such a clear debate, and there's a lot of action, and Michael Fassbender does some great physical acting. And, you know, it's not a big movie. It's not a great movie, but I found it to be enjoyable. At first, I didn't know what I was going to be looking at. But then I found, it may have been the seat that I was in. It was so comfortable, I couldn't believe it. It's like I was in the, I'm not sure if I like that sort of thing. I kind of like to work at a movie, you know, like I'm working to like it. You know, I'm sharing the communal experience, but here we are, you know, kind of like all of us in our living rooms. It's kind of a weird thing. The other thing I meant to say about this was robotics. As you go into the theater, there's no lines anywhere. You're told you have to pick your seats, and they show you a graph of your seats, and you pick these seats you have to stay in. You go to get a drink or popcorn or whatever you're going to get, and you know it's almost completely automated. And they call that the next-gen theater. And there's probably, you know, half the employees that would have been there before, half are gone now. Once it's fully automated, you know, there won't be any ticket counter people. There'll be, you know, people to oversee something if something goes wrong. But, I mean, you know, ultimately you could get it down to no humans at all. So that's another kind of interesting thing of how robotics has changed, you know, everything into, you don't see many humans. You just kind of go in and you go to your slot and everyone's going in at different times. There's no lines or anything. There's no, you know, you go into your theater, but since you have your own seat, you really don't have to get there until the previews are done. And because you have an assigned seat. And it's just very, very interesting. You know, it's interesting how you can see the depopulation going on. You can see the plan to get rid of humans. You can see it naturally happening. And I think from the perspective of, you know, the racists, the people that they hate white people, the racists actually are the ones that hate the white people, are the racists. And Obama would be numero uno, right? The ultimate racist. He's racist. I saw that Valerie Jarrett was calling him a genius, that he's been bored, even as president, he's been bored. And I got to tell you, I am bored. I've joined James Woods and his being bored. And I'm thankful that he's back on Twitter because he's very, you know, funny and he's very, very bright. He has a genius IQ. I mean, get this. He has 180 to 186 IQ. He was in MIT. He was about to graduate and something at MIT. And then he just decided to chuck it for acting. He's too smart for his own good, but his tweets reflect that kind of intelligence. He's a million times smarter than Barack Obama, who does not behave in an intelligent manner whatsoever. He's impetuous and emotional, and he acts vindictively, and he acts stupidly. He's kind of a clown. So we have, you know, and they were saying that his IQ was like 130. No, his IQ is more like 110. 130 is kind of like, it's bright, it's above average, you know, but not genius. It's bright, but not genius. James Woods is something like 186, so it's genius, you know. And there's others on the scale. But let's just put it this way. The intelligence is good to have when you're dealing with leadership. The comments that Valerie Jarrett is saying that Barack Obama is so smart, so talented, such a gift from God that he has. He's so talented that he's actually bored. Well, if all I did was golf and take orders from George Soros the whole time, I would be bored out of my mind too. I wouldn't, you know, posing as president but not really having the power, you know, not really wielding the power. Then I see this Michael Gerson guy writes an article where he states that Trump will be a, you know, at best he'll be a constitutional crisis or a failed presidency because he's never run anything before. He's never, and then we go back to Obama, the community organizer who doesn't work, who doesn't do anything. He doesn't manage anything. He doesn't manage people. He doesn't do anything. And has less experience in the management of a complex situation than Trump, okay? And yet he's attacking Trump and saying it's failed already, even though Obama, by his standard, by Gerson's standard, Obama would be the worst president in the history of the United States in terms of preparation. And yet the flaming hypocrite, Gerson, goes on flaming out, a clown now, a clown journalist, joke journalism. Right. In other words, everything he says is a lie. Everything he says is just vindictiveness. It's just personal animus, his own personal crap. So that means to me that he's exposed himself and that the left has completely exposed themselves. But like I started off saying, you know, with this movie thing of seeing the people that fall into globalism is slavery, right? Globalism is the relinquishing of free will, i.e. individual rights and individuality, for the purpose of world peace, which, of course, is a ruse. What they really want is world power. And that was shown in the movie, and I was amazed that it even got made. But the critical response to the movie has been mixed. Some, you know, maybe 3 out of 4 stars, you know, 2.5. But then on, you know, certain kinds of critics, certain critics that want no free will. When they slam the movie, you can tell they're the Knights Templar type. They're the ones that want globalism and no free will. This is a genetic type. This is a type of the people at the top, they just want the power. But there are people that want to be, as I said yesterday, they want to be enslaved. They want to be enslaved. They want to give up their free will. And they already have. That's why they have a little job and a little track to run around and a little wifey poo that they can pretend they have a marriage and whatever else. It's a complete joke. It's a sham. It's a Truman Show. But that's how they are. That's how they're wired, folks. They're wired that way. And it became very crystal clear what Jesus was talking about. What Jesus was talking about when he was addressing the Pharisees and the scribes and saying in John 8 and saying, you know, you're from your father, the devil. I'm from above, you're from below. He's describing the two genetic types of people on the planet. It's extraordinary how it's all coming into, it's like I'm just being given this furthered, you know, I already knew all this, but it's just like crystallizing in my mind and my spirit, you know, to understand, because I'm going to have to address, as I am today, I got in a lot of trouble because I used to talk like this, like I'm talking now. In 2002, people got really mad, right? Because I point out the sheep and the goats. And they got so mad. But now we understand it's an ancient blood thing, which goes to genetics. There are people that are wired to give up free will. They don't want free. They're not free will people. And then there are people that want free will. These are the two types. This is from above and below. This is the delineation of Jesus when he outlined what reality is in terms of what kind of humans there are. We got that from Jesus Christ. What exactly the humans. So now that brings us the whole notion of John 8. It brings it smack dab into view. And I, for one, it's not that I, you know, because I like to think, oh, well, let's give everyone a chance. And there is that. There is the idea that we have free will so that everyone can be redeemed if they want. Yes, but the totalitarian says mankind cannot be redeemed. We must take free will from him and force him to do the right thing. Okay, that's George Soros and all the minions and binions around that, right? Then there's the free will, the gift from God, that you may have people choosing to go the wrong way, choosing to hurt people. And you may have people choosing the Lord. I choose the Lord, if you will. I give up my free will only to one. The only one I can love and be loved by is one. is God. You know, then whatever human love there is back and forth here and there, fine, but the hookup has to be God. That's got to be my chief engine. That's got to be the thing that hooks me up with my ancient past. You see what I mean? And with my ancient future. It's this knowing that I belong to this. And let me get to John. John, it doesn't even seem like John is human. You know, when you read John 8, I'm just going to scan from the beginning. Okay, we have the casting of the stones. We have... Okay, so we have this. Though I hear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but you can not tell whence I come and whither I go. You can't. You're talking to the Pharisees here. You can't. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man, says Jesus. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. And then they said to him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Boom! Let's let that sink in for about 10 seconds here. You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. You professional religionistas. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. This is like an editorial aside from John, saying that the hour of his death had not yet come. And in other words, they should have laid a hand on him. They should have beat the crap out of him. Then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins, because whither I go, you cannot come. So here we're repeating this again. It's amazing, isn't it, how clear this is. Whither I go, wherever I go, you cannot come. You don't understand me. But wherever I go, whether I come, whether I go, you cannot follow. Understand? You cannot follow, we tell the worlders. But he goes even further than us. He says, you will die in your sins, because he knows clearly who he's talking to. Unlike us, that we prevaricate and we're not sure and we don't want to condemn anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Well, check this out. I go my way and you shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Boom. There you go. Okay? Insane. Insane. What happened at lovey-dovey Jesus? Then he repeats it again. Whither I go, you cannot come. Third time. When it's three times repeated in about four verses, it's telling you to pay attention. Whither I go, you cannot come. You can say all kinds of crap about me. You can beat me up. You can throw me down. You can ruin my reputation. You can soft kill me. You can do whatever you want. But whither I go, you cannot come. I go with my Lord, and you will die in your sins. And that's just the way it is. Yeah, it's kind of tough here, right? I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Here we go, three times on that. So, boom again. And then they said, the Pharisees said to him, well, who art thou? And Jesus said to them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Of course they don't understand what his language, the language I speak, people don't understand. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words, and they believed on him. Many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered, verily I say to you, whoever committeth a sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Boom. This is just relentless. I speak that of which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen of your Father. Here we go, here it comes. Get ready for the wind-up. And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father, Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. A man hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. God is our Father, they said to him. And he says unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, he says, even because you cannot hear my word. You, and here comes the punch, as if it's not bloody enough. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of the father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear him not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews. They said to him, say we are not that thou art a Samaritan and has a death. Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and thou hast a devil? And Jesus answered, I do not have a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory, for there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say, that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say that I know him not, I should be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, Thou art not yet 50 years old. How hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Bam.
That's my Jesus.
There you go. The perfect delineation of sheep, goats, devils, and angels. The great divide. The great religious experts, the Pharisees, are condemned as devil worshippers. As even more so, children of the devil, who claim to be the seed of Abraham, who claim to believe, but because they do not believe in Jesus, because they do not see the truth, they cannot be the seed of Abraham, because the people who believe in Jesus Christ are the seed of Abraham. Now, we can go on and on about the Jews and the Gentiles. No, I don't want to do that, because I don't want to complicate something that's very, very simple. You know, we speak a certain way. We act a certain way. We do a certain thing. You know, Yeshua is our, you know, our, we belong to him. We are like him. We understand him. He understands us. We understand. We communicate. The world does not understand. They say they are of God. We know they're not. We know that they are of their father, the devil. Because they put all their stock into building their precious world order here, to life extension technologies and all the rest of it. They don't understand that we are already eternal. Excuse me. They do not realize, obviously, what's going on, and yet they prop themselves up as the experts. We can say something about them as they fold themselves into their ecumenical disasters, as they become the one world religion, as they do all these things in the name of God. But I understand that if I take the Pope, I say this, hey, Pope, you are a child of Satan, and there is no God in you. You cannot understand my words at all, or people like me, because people like me have no place around you. Because I can see this truth, I speak it, and I speak the truth. Because my Lord speaks truth, so I speak truth. Because I do that which pleases him, which is to say that you are of your father, the devil. Now, what are Catholics going to do? I just said the truth. They're going to blindly follow the Pope and not God. Why are they going to do that? Because they're churchianities, they're churchians, they're worlders, they think the church is there to make their world a nicer place rather than causing a ruckus. And so they will go down. Unless they wake up, they will go down, down, down. Now, I'm not bashing Catholics. As far as I'm concerned, all the churches are equally they're there. They're equally the same. They belong to the same system. They have the same monitors. They have the same all-seeing eye that governs over them. They are not free. I've even met people in the church system who couldn't even pray because they thought other people would hear them. They have psychic link with all the others. So they're afraid to think the thoughts they want to think. That's how enslaved they get, to where they're afraid even silently to think it or say something to someone in a room behind closed doors. They can't do it because they have hive mind link up. Boom. How'd they get that hive mind link up? because they became slaves. How did they become slaves? They used their free will to become slaves, figuring that was the best way to go. Turns out they were wrong. But they're the God people. You're the heretic. You're the spouting off here, and you're very hateful. Yes, it's very hateful to listen to Jesus Christ talk. Jesus is very hateful, yes. I see Jesus with a machine gun mowing people down, that's right. Jesus with a machine gun mowing people down, laughing his ass off. Yep, that's Jesus, the one that everyone hates. And so the rest of them who are, you know, who want to, obviously, because you see someone praying, what does a Muslim do? They stab them, you know. They don't stab anyone else. They're going to stab the Jesus person. They're going to persecute that which is truth. They're going to do that to, they're going to wage jihad against that which is true, against that which is holy, against that which is of the Father, against that which is of the Creator. Obviously. And, but see, here we've gone beyond the virgin birth and all the rest of it that people argue about. Here we have these profound words that a delineation of what Jesus is talking about. He's basically dividing the sheep and the goats. He's dividing the humans upon the earth into two categories. And I said, well, you haven't really kept the saying. You haven't been perfect. No, I haven't been, but I belong. Even if I'm a wayward son, I belong to the Father. I don't belong anywhere else. And when I speak, people don't understand. People in the world, that is. A certain kind of person does not understand. Other people do, but they'll say, yeah, I understand, but at the same time, I got to live here. Well, I'd say that those people will die in their sins. I said those people may die in their sins. I don't say will, because they could change their mind, but if they keep on the current trajectory, they will die in their sin. Funny thing is, they all think they're going to heaven, and they'll die in their sin. Well, that's all I'm going to say about it. The movie, if you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at the movie. Because it inspired me to say the things I said today. Now, I put in one of my hashtags, Pizzagate, because we have the ongoing Pizzagate. Now, there's no more I can say about it. You know, you the people like me, and there's, you know who you are, we speak the same language. It's like we are each other. But the people over there or outside of that, they don't understand what you say. And they seek to attack you, try to silence you. The people that we go up against are the New World Order, who do not understand us, and who never will. You know, they're so confused now, I don't know if they're ever going to get out of it, but they're very, very confused. They've never lost before. You know, they lost at the cross, but they've never really lost. And now they're throwing temper tantrums, they're going crazy. To me, Lindsey Graham and John McCain have added themselves as two clowns. I don't know how the world's going to see them, but to me, they're clowns. Okay? They're clowns at best. And they look like buffoons now. Just bomb Russia, bomb Iran, bomb somebody. They're clowns. These are not serious people. The whole wheels are falling off the Russian story, the Russian hacking. What was the hacking about? The John Podesta emails where he wanted children in the hot tub. Did the Russians force John Podesta to want children with him in the hot tub? No. You know, what is the source of fake news and the whole propaganda thing and the signing of the news and the algorithms and all the mess that's going on today? Pizzagate. Don't forget that. Pizzagate started it all. It's the biggest story there is. I mention it because there's no new information, no. There's just the denial of, say, people like Megyn Kelly and other worlders like her who will die in their sins. Who are saying things like, you know, if you have a pizza parlor, you're a pedophile, to belittle it. Yeah, something new?
David Seaman, who is kind of in the front, they've shut off his PayPal.
Right.
They're trying to get rid of him.
Because David Seaman is
brave,
seeking to expose the truth about Pizzagate, that he's been on point with Brittany Pettibone and, there's a few of them. I follow them. I cheer them on. I don't have the kind of energy they have to do this, but I'm a fan of this. I've seen some testimony of some people that were in child trafficking and sex trafficking that are survivors that have come forth to give their testimonies, which I think is very, very good news. But like I said, the vastness of the whole point about the perversion crowd is this. They make it a rite of passage and a point of initiation. So, you know, it's vast, the numbers of people that are involved, right? But you do see them worried. You see a guy like Podesta worried. There could be prosecutions of some of the more obvious ones, yes. Maybe not the sea of all the pedo perverts, but, you know, we do have enough. And when it starts going into the dark things like human sacrifice to Satan and things like that, that's another level or another dimension to it all that stems from Pizzagate. That's alluded to through Pizzagate. You know, alluded, it's not provable completely, but there's enough there to cause David Seaman to proclaim publicly that John Podesta is a pedophile, period. And he stated that as his professional opinion as a journalist, and that he needs to be prosecuted to the furthest extent of the law. And for saying that John Podesta needs to be investigated, indicted, prosecuted, whatever, for, and wherever this leads.
Electric chair.
Because of that, so I guess he thinks he's a child murderer as well. Okay, so because of that, David Seaman, the New World Order people have shown their ugly faces and mugs. They have, PayPal has shut him down, and, you know, and he's, they're soft killing him right and left. They're doing the same thing they do to everybody. Well, what does that make PayPal? The same as Podesta. They're all the same. You can interchange them all you like. They're vast, how many there are. And they're all going to cover for each other. Oh, well, I'm not saying they were involved in anything, PayPal. I'm just saying they are on the same team as Podesta, not on the same team as Truth. They despise the Truth because their father is obviously the devil. And they're going to cover for Podesta. They don't care, like, what Hillary Clinton did either. If she was part of the D.C. pedo ring and, you know, Podesta, Clinton, and the whole gang, they don't care. The people that are going to vote for her would vote for her again just as much anyway. 60 million people would vote for her again, even if all this stuff came out in the news. So what does that make the people who vote for her? That's right, the same club, the same thing. Well, what club is it exactly? It's the divide. It's light to dark, dark to light. It's break on through to the other side, baby. It's the old arcane thing that involves the entire world. You're not going to arrest the entire world, are you? Of course not. It's young Goodman Brown. It's Bartleby the Scrivener. It's the Assassin's Creed. It's Jesus confronting the Pharisees. It's before Abraham was, I am. It's all the marbles. It's the whole Trump situation. It's everything and everyone and everywhere. I just want to play the part of the old wise man now, who will keep, you know, like a referee. I'm going to keep everybody on the up and up and real, you know. David Seaman, my message to him is to step back and understand this is a spiritual battle. And yes, it manifests in things like these rights these people seem to feel they have with children and Satan and sacrificial rights and all that. This goes back thousands of years. You know, this is an ancient order, okay? The crimes can never be paid for fully. The only thing God can do is just put an end to the system and he put an end to them. They are from below. We are from above. They will persecute David Seaman because David Seaman is learning. Now, he is naive and you know, just a kid. I mean, what is he, 25 years old or something?
30-something.
Still, just, you know, just a babe in the woods. He doesn't know how all this works. He hasn't seen all this stuff. He knows it's wrong, and he's just like a journalist wanting to expose it, and then he's just horrified that no one will do anything about it. I told you what would happen with the NYPD, didn't I? And everyone's, oh, the NYPD has it. They're going to do something about it. It's like, no, they're not. Go back to 3 Days of the Condor, another great movie you should have in your collection. Yeah, how do you know they're gonna release it? How do you know they're gonna do their duty? They can't. To be asking someone to commit suicide, and people are not gonna do that. I think David Seaman's starting to understand what he's dealing with here. They want to make this Pizzagate thing go away because it touches on something they don't want touched on. They're even willing to change all the laws of all the United States and every country there is, and even the internet itself, just to get out that one damn spot. That one thing, out damn spot, that Pizzagate. You know, we thought we had it taken care of with Megyn Kelly. Now, a little bitch on parade, a little piglet bitch whore. I thought we gave it to the whore and she ran with it. She buried it, right? But still not buried completely. And now we have this open thing about John Podesta being a satanic, ritually abusing pedophile. Who may be worse than that.
Just look at his art collection.
Who may be involved up to his eyeballs in human trafficking. Along with the Clintons and half of D.C. These are not the lambs. The voters for Hillary don't care about all that. They understand all the criminality and they're voting anyway. Who are these? Who are your neighbors? You like them? Happy? I made the mistake of thinking that people in RVs, I mean, you know, people in RVs have dogs, they walk the dog, you see the dogs. We're all racked and stacked up one next to each other, right? But we're all in our own individual bubbles and in our own little lives, you know, and we share the love of the road and, you know, being able to just change your environment. And it's kind of cool, but it's not for everyone. I can see how people would feel claustrophobic and, you know, that you know, you're stacked up with people and you know there's some, you know, but I made the mistake of thinking that RVers were kind of like motorcyclists, you know, like, well, when I was a motorcyclist, it was kind of like the RV, but, you know, the open road, the, you know, freedom and all that. When I, you know, not to put down all of Newport Beach, but I got to Newport Beach and I wore my American Horror Story, which had a horror picture of Hillary Clinton on it, like done up in horror with their laugh. You've probably seen it on Facebook or Twitter. Well, I was wearing that T-shirt. And everybody looked at me like I was the pariah of pariahs. And I'm like, you've got this $500,000 coach here, and you got this American flag going. And really, you're offended? And I thought, you know, you're tailgating, you're having, you know what I mean? But then, no, they were all Hillary supporters there. And they're, then you see the lifers, you know, the lifers, they're couples that sold their home, their kids are grown, they're just old people, right, on the road. And their motorhomes are, they were new at one time, but now you can see they're very senior and they're kind of falling apart and they're kind of more and more they stay. Then you see the ultimate lifers are people that have, it used to be a motorhome, right? Then they built it out. They tore the walls down and built, you know what I mean? They dug in. They don't intend to drive it anymore. It quit running. So they quit driving and they started building siding. And do you know what I'm talking about? How they sort of, you know, they have a trailer. They start with a trailer. And then they finally got to where they got too old to travel, right? So now for their last days, they're hungering down. They got propane tank delivered. They've got siding, and they'll build out little extra rooms, and they built themselves. The trailer's not good. The wheels are just like a museum piece now. The wheels have been covered up. They've gone flat, and they just live there, and that's their home, and they have to pay. I don't know, their Social Security easily pays for a fee at one of these remote RV parks. They're probably living not on a concrete pad, but on dirt. They have hookups, and they pay a very modest amount of money per month. And, you know, they're all over the country, these people. You should see them. You know, they're most of them are quite aware of what's going on. It's amazing, but they got to the point where they can't travel anymore. So they just hunker down to where they were in their RVs. And those RVs became permanently ensconced in on the land wherever they settled. There's people in Durango that we met.
There's the guys that just live off out on the land.
Yeah, there's a whole other category of off-the-grid RVers that are here. If you drive the I-10 through Arizona from Tucson to Phoenix, let's say, and do go the bypass on the 8 around Phoenix and then come back up on the other side, you'll see RVers just on the side of the road, you know, just on the desert plateau with no hookups, no nothing. They just are a sea of them. Just they find a place and they park there, and that's it. They're there. I don't know how long they're going to stay there. Most of them have solar. They've kind of have a solar thing going, but they have to get water. They still have to have water. Some have cars and things, and you know that they towed, and they can, you know. But all these RVs are older, and they're, you know, having to shore them up. But it's quite interesting. It's like a little shelter, you know, that can become permanent. I guess when you get so old that you really can't drive anymore. You know, there's a point where you can't handle it anymore. You can't hitch up your car, de-hitch it, and your hands don't work, your arms don't work. You know, you're getting kind of settled in, and you're going to live out your last days. Your kids aren't going to visit you. You know what I mean? So you're out in the Southwest desert somewhere, in some RV park. We've seen them in Nevada, in Arizona, and they're there. They're permanently there, and they're not going to go anywhere. There's no point in. They may have started as a motorhome or a trailer or something, but it's now been built into the land. And I say good for them, because they figured a way to at least live cheaply enough, okay? Because they're really not spending any money in that situation. To live cheaply enough to live out their days with some dignity rather than, you know, it's awful what the people put the old people through, where the Social Security doesn't cover anything and they're not able to. You know, the best way to be old, I think, is probably to be holistic, to be really into the health thing, you know what I mean? To be going holistic medicine and you know, Chinese, and, you know, learn about herbology and things like that, to avoid getting caught up in the medical system, you know? You know, or have a blend that makes sense, you know, that's mainly holistic and then for more catastrophic things. But yeah, you know, I can tell already, you know, as just myself, the changes I've gone through, you know, there's a point, I saw this yesterday, there's a point where I'm not driving anywhere, you know what I mean? And that day is coming. And maybe I'll be talking to you, maybe I won't, just, you know, crazy old man. But I can tell you one thing, I know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and I know that for a fact. And I know, and I'm sorry for the, you know, for the evangelicals and the Catholics and all the people that are preaching love for everybody and all that, who, and I believe love for everybody, of course, no animus. You know, no warfare, you know, be a man of peace and live by the sword, die by the sword. I understand all that. But it's a great disservice to pull your punches and not at least imitate Christ, which is to say, you were of your father, the devil. To call it right, did you hear what he did? If they truly go by the word of God, if they say the King James Bible is the word of God, then how could they miss that? In their ecumenicalism, you know, inclusivism. How could they miss that? Anyway, back to the Pizzagate thing. So more and more survivors are coming forward. And I do believe, you know, another interesting thing. The Norwegian bust of the pedophiles is covered up by the Washington Post. Covered up by the mainstream news. Can you believe that? Because they're pedophiles, the left. They're pushing, Salon.com is pushing for pedophilia legality. So they're pedophiles, and therefore they're in the pedo porn, human trafficking. They're enablers of it. They're consumers of it. And they may mainly be on the left, but of course, the Franklin cover-up was mainly dealing with child prostitution. California has legalized child prostitution now. Legalized it. Underage sex marketeering with underage children is 100% legal. Having sex with children that are prostitutes is 100% legal in California, pushed and passed by the Democrats. Let's call it what it is. If you're a Democrat, first of all, how could you be a Democrat with this going on? Shame on you. Really, terrible shame on you. Well, I'm nothing. I'm no party at all because, I mean, you know, the Republican Party has John McCain in it. I can't relate to that. But I'm hoping for a purge of people like that, and maybe I can join it, you know, in one day. I can't bring myself consciously to join any party at this point because of how much corruption and human trafficking is involved in each thing. But it seems like the Democrats run the show in terms of pedophilia legalization, and they definitely ran the entire show. So no matter how many of these hot dogs Obama wants to, what, suck on? That's the way Alex Jones put it yesterday. I caught a bit of his show toward the end of his show. He was talking about hot dogs and Obama. So at least that was a pretty bold statement. I mean, it's not really going away, the idea that that all this lingo of pizza and hot dogs all mean something. They're trying to act like we're to be ashamed for having besmirched the character of these people who may, in fact, be human trafficking children. Are you freaking kidding me? So it's really coming down to something. I mean, there's a new sheriff in town. It's coming down to a big fight. And what I think is going to happen is the investigations are going to begin when Trump takes office. You know, I'm a little word to share with you from last night. The Lord spoke to me. It was kind of like, what's been set in motion will complete. In other words, it will complete, even though it looks really hairy like it won't. It will. It will complete. There's enough praying people here, thank God. Enough good, true, blue people of the Lord, people of Jesus. I'm all for the medical business, by the way, in terms of breakthroughs and things that are good, like in the cancer space. There's all kinds of breakthroughs that are happening, which are giving people enough life so that they die from something other than cancer. I think there's a good side to it. So I don't want to completely put that down either, and I'm not. I'm just saying there should be a balance. I certainly am not giving anyone medical advice here. My advice to myself is to try to follow the holistic way. And, you know, for me, it's like cutting sugar, cutting, you know, stuff like that, and really trying to to max that out, taking PEOs, you know, paired essential oils and things, and trying to, you know, see, is, you know, keep going. But I mean, at some point, you know, right? There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee for young people either, but I mean, there's no guarantee. So this is something that you just have to keep in mind. And when things just don't work anymore, you know, you just kind of like go, oh, okay, here's a change. And then, you know, you keep compromising, you keep struggling. What do they say? Old age is not for sissies. I think there's some wisdom in that, whoever said that. You know,
wimps.
Not for wimps. Okay, same thing. Yes, absolutely. It's not for wimps. It's a challenge. But I think I just need to use the challenge, help increase my faith in the living God. I just have to completely give myself over to God. There's just no other place for me to go, folks. You can't take it with you. And if whatever you think you have, you don't have. I don't know what's going to happen in my absence. I hope my daughter can work it out. Whatever. I'm just going to go. And one day you won't have to put up with me anymore. You know, who's just going to keep talking on the internet? But the thing about, I hope to do more music in the next year. You know what I mean? More challenging projects musically. A lot of them reflect what's going on. Yesterday I played for you this rough thing I've been working out. I'm not settled on it at all. I'm just kind of looking at it, not quite sure whether it's worth working on anymore. But it was like saying, but what it was saying was this: things are going to be different. That's kind of the theme of what was being said there. So I think it's, you know, good for that. If I could wrap it up when I get home, you know what I mean? And then I have to move on to the thing that Kelly had sent me, something based on kind of a blues rock progressive kind of track. And, you know, I hope to just do a lot more of that kind of thing. Because when I write lyrics and when I'm, you know, when I work with people like Kelly and I was thinking about that song that we did, Simulacra, and I was trying to remember, how did we do that? How did that really come about? And I can't tell you. I'm hoping for more tracks like that, though, in the future. Really, you know, really, that are very unique and you know, unique on the whole world stage. You know, it would be unique no matter where you played it, you know, no matter who heard it, no matter, you know, anywhere in the world, you know, it would be taken seriously as something unique and different. This was about like a sci-fi, almost alien version of humanity mind control, of having all of us be mind controlled to believe in the simulacra they call reality, which is nothing but what the aliens are giving us for the purpose of harvesting us for their as food, you know, period. Trying to get us interested in things like, you know, kites and rainbows and lollipops and bar mitzvahs and I'm sorry, am I Jewish? birthday parties and weddings, mazel tov, and all that stuff. Okay, so just you know, to be engaged in all this, because half the time it's hard for me to really keep my feet on the ground. I mean, you know, I don't feel terribly engaged in all. I just know that, you know, the ultimate lamb is Jesus, right? And the stuff he said, which we heard in John 8, is pretty tough stuff. I mean, I don't see how they keep anybody in church with that kind of talk. Well, it's a real trick. How they do it, I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit weak right now, and I know I have to, you know, strengthen up, and I need to get myself back home, and I feel like I feel like there's a hurdle there. I'm not that far from home, but, you know, getting back there, it's cold. It's like, you know, 18 degrees at night, stuff like that. I still have to get back there. And, you know, you never know on the road. There's obstacles. There's all kinds of things. So whether you'll do okay or I cut a corner too much the other day, and I kind of brushed at some trees, and I got to get that rubbed out by a body shop because I, you know, I kind of blew it on that. Got a couple of scratches, nothing bad, nothing that really altered the pain or anything, but it's just like, you know, it's another learning curve of, you know, you have to go wide, way wide, and you just have to, you know, it's just, it's, and then I'm aware, like I say, of the day that comes that there's no more driving or breathing, for that matter. There is that. And the only place I want to be when that occurs is with the Lord. I just want to know that I want to be 100% focused on that and nothing else. And it's becoming that way. It's hard for me to keep my feet on the ground. Like I was saying, I just see people as kind of like I see them, and I see, you know, the model we have of an RV, that I see other people, like old people, they're older than us, and they have the version, you know, from 10 years ago of this one, the same label, you know, just like you have labels of cars and things. And yet it's old, and it's the paint's faded, and it makes you think, you know. And this one's new, and it's like I'm just entering into the community of people getting older. Everyone here is gray-headed. One guy, a couple of places down, he's got a, I don't know, it's just a 40-footer, 45, whatever it is, but he's got motorcycles. He's cool motorcycles. One psychedelic, painted psychedelic. And he was out with, you know, right, he's older than me, you know, maybe he's not that much older, but older. And he's out with his wife riding on these motorcycles, him and her, and they're pretty radical bikes. I mean, I'm like, how are you doing this? He's out riding. Well, he must may be in better shape than me. I mean, you know, that could be. I mean, there is that. They're out right, right? You saw them with their bikes?
I did not.
You heard the bikes.
The bikes are
something that a 25-year-old would be happy to, very nice, custom, look to me like maybe a customized Softail Harleys or something, you know, something with, but totally customized, you know, in a very cool way, like, you know, gone through the modern treatment. And I guess they had a trailer that they have bikes in, and they have a car in it, and they pull that around. I don't know how long they're going to be here. I just saw them take off on the motorcycles, and I was kind of like, yeah. Yeah, I was just, you know, rage against the dying of the light. You know, go for it. Get out there on those motorcycles. Go for it. Do something. You know, don't let it just, you know, succumb to it. But I see with me, it's more like the awareness of the Lord is coming more and more and more. The awareness of the true light. The awareness of the source. And I'm really, you know, like I say, with my feet off the ground, it's more like I'm divesting in this idea of this being reality, right? It's to me, it's a passing thing. And I'm wondering, well, maybe I shouldn't write any more songs. You know, maybe that's nobody could relate to what I'm talking about. I don't know.
No.
But it feels like, you know, you feel the slippage. Right, you feel it starting to go, the disconnect from this world, and then it truly is a simulacra in that sense, because there would be no world at all for me unless I bought into it. I have to actually make it real. If I refused to be hypnotized, I mean, ultimately, if I had refused to make this thing real, I would have been more on the truth than I have been. But now I see that. You know, and in that softening of, in that, you know, there's a softening of my anger toward the world, if you will. Not in my anger about hurting innocent children and things like that. Of course, any normal person would be angry about stuff like that. It's just amazing how many wimps there are and how we only have, you know, an honorable guy like a David Seaman and a couple others. Oh, by the way, they put trolls online that started calling him and this Brittany Pettibone, calling them pedophiles. So they start in with that. They accuse you of what they're doing as a way to deflect from them. And so I saw that ugly tactic, and I'm like, how much of this world is completely satanic and gone? And I'm starting to think that most of it is, and then there's pockets of light and hope here and there. But that most people, you know, seem to be, you know, are they in knowledge of all this? Do they know? are they playing a game? Just what the heck is up with that? I mean, you know, how does it get covered up when it was exposed like that? And then, you know, just when the answer is, how did Norway get covered up? How did Hampstead get covered up? How did Hollywood get covered up? How did Eric Braverman going missing from the Clinton Foundation get covered up? Oh, no. Everything related to the Clintons gets covered up by the Washington Post, by Salon.com, by Politico, by the Daily Beast, by the New York Times, by the Wall Street Journal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Who? So my question to you is, who are these people and who are the readers? Where am I? What is this? Has it always been like this? And the answer is yes, it pretty much has always been like this. It's just that we did not have a deeper understanding of what we're dealing with. The world versus God. When you're in the world, people want to be with the world because they want to be with the winning team. So most people would choose the world, not God. The United States is peculiar, though. You have a lot of people who are God-fearing people. A lot more than what I thought in 2002, I can tell you that. I thought it was maybe 10% back then, and now I realize it's more. It may be 33 1/3%, for all I know. I mean, that, I don't think it's much more than that, but it's in terms of other countries, it's pretty much up there. It may be because a lot of people fell on hard times. They were put out of work and they were never able to find employment again. They fell into despair. And in their despair, they reached out to the Lord. It could be that. That was a saving grace. But whatever it is, it's good news because it means that, you know, you're going to... I don't know whether you're going to get justice or you're going to finally kick up and do a jig and dance around and feel like happy days are here again, but... The bad guys have been put on notice, and the bad guys are the totalitarian, the technocrat, the kleptocrat, the scientific dictatorship, the New World Order, the UN, the EU, the collectivists. These are the people that want individual rights, aka free will, to be done away with, and they want a complete, perfectly obedient slave state. Obedience being the key. Obedience to man and not God. Obedience. Whatever they say, you do without question. And that's what they want. So that there's a lot of rebellious Americans, and I guess they're waking up to this. They don't want to be like that. They don't want an Albert Pike Third World War and going to war against the Muslims and having everyone kill each other and then having them emerge with their depopulated Earth so they can play the field of Elysium. That plan, they're pulling the plug on that. I know people didn't believe me when I said that months and months and years, however long ago it was. People didn't believe me because they were like, yeah, sure, it's going to be the Mazzini thing. It's going to be the letter to Mazzini. It's going to be the Albert Pike plan, period. They're not going to pull the plug on that. That's a New World Order. Well, what do we say is happening? Is that there's some plug being pulled? I can tell you that. Yes, well, will we ever be rid of them? Where you're going, my friends, they don't exist. They cannot follow. You heard the Lord say that today. Whither I go, you cannot come. Remember? Three times. Whither I go, you cannot come. What I speak, you may not hear. And where I go, you cannot follow. And, you know, the sooner you start understanding, you know, start understanding the way things are and operate in accordance with that and stop getting personally bummed out about it, the better off everyone's going to be, you know, to accept the way it is. Not accept the way, you know, yes, I'd love it to be all kumbaya, lovey-dovey, no sheep, no goats, just a brotherhood of man, imagine blah, blah, blah. That would be, yeah, fine. But even John Lennon's song, Imagine, spoke of enslavement, not free will. An enforced brotherhood of man, not based on free will. An enforced relinquishing of... I think they just want people to use the collective goods and nobody has anything of their own. Of course. The dystopian future. Of course, I know it very well. Very, very popular in the sci-fi realm. The Giver was a good example. That leads to euthanasia. Eugenics. Totalitarian, authoritarian, technocratic, scientific dictatorship. Slavery. Yes. Understood. I'm not that kind of person. I'm more like a lamb, you know, not the kind of person that goes into some, that just joins that collective. Having said that, I want to reiterate what I said yesterday. The most popular movie ever made is this hokey movie called Avatar. Who are they? The devotees of this movie who would agree to the freedom-hating collective. I don't know. Hate parading around as love. I don't know. Complete loss of individuality in favor of the collective, meaning the death of you. I don't know. I.e. suicide. Who are these people? What do they want? Because there's no point in them living, because if they live on, they will endlessly complain and die. You know, that's what they do, complain and die. Complain, then die. You know, complain while they're shaping the world. It should be this way, it should be that way. They make the world in their image, and then they die. I mean, what have they contributed to anything? If you're not contributing to freedom, to individual potentiation, to understanding, to truth, then you've done nothing, my friends. You've done nothing. If that's all you do is social engineering, you've done nothing. You've produced nothing. You've created nothing. And everything that you think that you've created is a big hill of garbage to be hauled off and burned in the garbage heap. Nothing of man and man's folly will be taken seriously in the ultimate scheme of things. It's just a delay of goodness, a delay of potentiation, a delay of maturation, a delay of understanding, a delay of multidimensional existence, a delay of all those things. How could that be considered to be productive? How could that be considered to be a contribution? It cannot be. I mean, it's fine. They want to fly around in tin cans and they want to clone themselves and become, you know, whatever, program the clones to do this, that, or the other thing. Fine. Let them. But I mean, what have they produced? Nothing but more for the garbage heap. They've produced nothing. The only thing that could be produced would have to reflect the will of the Almighty God. Now, it is God's will that he allows this dichotomy to go on for a while, but Jesus taught us, look, when you're in the dichotomy, you know, which is a dichotomy too, right? You have to call it as you see it. You are of your father, the devil. Had you been the seed of Abraham, you would have loved me. But since you hate me, you cannot be the seed of Abraham, but the seed of the devil, your father. Boom. Done. Thank you. Hard, hard truth. Hardcore. But don't look at me. That's Jesus talking. That's Word of God stuff. That's not me. I prefer Kumbaya, but people are not going to just... They're not going to settle this stuff. They're not going to settle for it. If you do Kumbaya, they take that as a sign of weakness and attack further. So there is no Kumbaya. There never will be. This is going to go one way or the other. And, you know, once you see it that way, then the whole world opens up to you. And finally you can navigate the whole world because you understand. most people are not going to be your friend, and most people, furthermore, will not understand your words. Lambs will, the worlders will not. Not only will they not, they cannot. It's a big distinction. It's not that they're doing it on purpose. They cannot hear you. They cannot see you. They cannot acknowledge you. They can't help you in your career because you don't exist. You know, you don't want their help anyway. Those of you in, you know, doing your music and your art and your paintings and whatever you're doing, one day you'll be in a place where your gifts will be honored. As the Lord has said in his word, that which the locusts have eaten away, I will restore. Okay? They have treated you like you don't exist. They have ignored all of your works. They have ignored all of your words. They have ignored everything about you. You have been ignored, sent to the back of the bus, told you're no good. Many of you have quit producing anything because you figure, what's the use? They don't want it anyway. And I'm here to tell you, hey, look, man, wake up. You're not their slave. You don't have to be here to please them. If you want to do something, do it to please others. You know, they're not your father. They're not your mother. They're not your brethren. They're not going to help you. They happen to be in charge of, you know, the entertainment, industrial, military complex for now. But that's just for now. If it changes, your fate may change. There are some people that are exceptions to that have made their way in the system despite being of the Lord. That's rare, but that does happen. You know, never, ever, ever, ever curse the Lord by saying, gosh, I wish things were different. You know, he saved your ass. He pulled it out of the fire. He preserved you. So no, the world can't hear you. Your music, your words, your books, your whatever you do, they can't hear you. In fact, whatever you do just makes them mad because they don't understand. They go, that's pretty obscure, Zev. You know, if you ever decide to exist, let me know. I've had it spoken to me as bold, just as plain as day, just like that. If you ever decide to exist, give me a ring. You like that? No, that's one of the most effed up things in the world. If you ever decide to exist, meaning give up your free will, give up your soul, let me know, I can help you. Translation, let me know that I can really use you for my own benefit. I got kicked out of a whole book on horror films of the 80s. And then all these other people, that means they got kicked out too, all because of little old me. Because they could not have linkage between, you know, the old me and the, you know what I mean? It would cause a rift in the space-time continuum. So they did what they did with the pedophile stuff and the satanic stuff. It just got buried. It's like it never happened. I know I was interviewed. I know I gave the responses. I know I was thanked for it. And then I know it didn't wind up in the book. I was tracked down. Sought out by an Italian author. And it was an American book, though. It was an English book. But I was sought out, and, you know, I gave my responses. And, you know, book is for people that want... It could even be like an academic work about cataloging the kinds of films that were out in the 80s. But, I mean, I was... the same thing happened on, you know, BuzzFeed, and the same thing happened on... happens every time I interact with the worlders. And yes, those are all worlders. But they cannot understand you. They can't publish any of it. The things I was talking about what happened in Los Angeles and people, they have to cover it up. They couldn't go with it. They couldn't go with this idea that there would be linkage between the Zeff Report and the old horror movie and the people involved. They had to sort of disconnect that. You know, so dangerous is all this? And my feeling about it all is I don't understand why it's so dangerous. I mean, the bottom line is, what is it that scares them so much? And the answer is they just don't want to rock the boat. They just don't want to create a controversy. A certain kind of controversy. They can't do, they just don't want to do that because it might hurt their career, might hurt their trajectory, it might hurt them in some way. So I'm okay with it. I'm just, it's bizarre. I don't understand it. I never will. And I never said I could. And I'm limited here because I'm talking to you on my iPhone. So, my iPhone studio, I don't have all the music selections that I'd like to have. And I like that one song, the San Bernardino one for today, and I don't know where. I don't know where that one went, but I'm trying to find. Yeah, do I have this one? Let's see what this one does. Well, let's play this. And I will see you next time. God bless you each and every one. I hope you got something out of this. If nothing else, just understand that Jesus is not the only one drawing the lines. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. The things that are hidden will be revealed, my friends. This Pizzagate thing is not just going to, go away if there was something to it, but there's a lot to it. It will come to fruition with the clash of God and the devil and the fall of Babylon and the end of days. And that's the only time it's going to be dealt with. And that's just, I hope David Seaman can wake up to that enough to realize how big, we're dealing with the very inner workings, the very foundation of the corrupt world system.
You will say, you will. with a message of love.